to work in the preaching of the Word and the reading of the Word this day. We ask you, Lord, to take this Word and cleanse us with it. Cleanse us from our sinful actions, thoughts, and words. Cause us to hear this Word and to really listen to it. Make it by your Spirit sink down deeply within us and make it abide in our hearts, we pray, that we may live truly to your glory and praise. Amen. This morning we are reading the Gospel of John from chapter 19, verses 1 through 16. And please give your full attention to this infallible Word of God. John 19, beginning at verse 1. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium, and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." And they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And thus we end this reading of God's holy word. The Lord Jesus Christ is on trial. As we confess in the Apostles' Creed, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. Pilate represents the civil government which condemned the perfect Lord Jesus Christ. His Jewish enemies, most of the religious leaders of that day, the Sanhedrin and the high priest, condemned him to death as well. And thus the religious institution, as well as the civil, condemned our Lord Jesus Christ to die. And we have our part in it as well, for he died for our sins. It was our sins that drove him to this awful mockery of a trial. It was our sins that drove him to the scourging and to the nailing to the tree on which he died. He died that we might have everlasting life. This is an ugly scene. And as we condemn the Jews and the Gentiles' involvement, we condemn ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ is on trial, and Pilate, the governor, has a plan to get out of putting him to death because he doesn't want to put him to death. As he has said a few times, I find no fault in him. And so he wanted to be relieved of this responsibility. You can see from the mere casual reading that he even wanted the Jews to take this responsibility, but they could not. It was not within their authority to do so. And so Pilate says these famous words, "Behold the man. Behold him, consider him, look at him, discover who he is, evaluate him." And that's what every human being must do. Every human being must consider the claims of God's truth in this universe, in this created world, and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The claims that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died to save sinners. Every human being has to behold the man. And if we are the recipients of the grace of God, we will behold Him and say, yes, indeed, this is the Son of God, and I put my trust in Him. But most people don't do that. Most people have not done that in history. So today we consider the title and theme, Behold the Man. Behold the Man, Christ Jesus. And in your bulletin on the back page, you'll see these three divisions of our text. First, behold the man who is scourged and mocked. Secondly, behold the man who has authority. And thirdly, behold the man who was sentenced to die. First of all, behold the man who is scourged and mocked in verses 1 through 5. Holy Scripture is very reserved when it says in verse 1 of John 19, "So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him." After Pilate had offered to the people outside his palace, had offered to them to release a prisoner, as was the custom at the Passover feast, hoping that they would let Jesus go. Instead, they called for Barabbas, a robber and a murderer, to be released, and demanded that the Lord Jesus not be released. After that, then, as chapter 19 begins, after they refused to release Jesus or give Pilate the encouragement to release him, then Pilate gave him over to be scourged. And that's very simply and quickly what Scripture says. Scripture itself does not go into an explanation as to what scourging is. We find that from other sources. Many people were crucified. Many criminals were crucified at this time in history. It was not unique for Jesus to be crucified in the sense that others were crucified. It was unique in the sense of why He was crucified, being a perfect man. And many were flogged, scourged. The Lord Jesus was scourged. And in the scourging, a soldier took a small wooden handle in his hand with leather straps attached to it. And at the end of those straps were bits of bone and metal so that it easily tore at the flesh. And as they began to scourge the Lord Jesus Christ, Of course, his flesh was torn. The straps were laid on the back, and some of the major blood vessels would be exposed, or even organs would be exposed, to where his back would be totally mutilated. Some criminals died from the scourging before they were even crucified. Scripture simply says Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, meaning he gave him to the soldiers who scourged him. And then after this, verse 2 tells us they took and twisted a crown of thorns. He came to be a king, so they were going to give him a mock crown. But this crown was going to be made of thorns. I can't imagine trying to twist thorns together to make a crown, but they did. They must have done it very carefully, because when they put it upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ, it pierced his skin as well. And he was bleeding from the head as well. And not only did they give him a crown of thorns and put it on his head, but they gave him a purple robe. Officers of the soldiers wore purple robes, and they were available. So they took one and put it on Jesus to mock him further. In verse 3, they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," in mocking fashion, and struck him with their palms, with their open hands. And the verb tenses here indicate that it was done over and over and over again. At this point, after the scourging, Pilate comes out from the palace to the crowd in verse 4 and says, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Again, he wants to wash his hands of this deal. And after the scourging, he brings Jesus out. And in verse 5, Jesus came out, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Look at this man whose flesh is beaten and torn. Look at the blood flowing from him. Look at this mockery of a crown. Does he appear to you to be a king? Do you really want to go through with this crucifixion, hoping that they would release him after the scourging, hoping that they would consider this enough? So Pilate brings Christ before them and says, "Behold the man who is scourged." As I said before, many men were scourged in those days. But they were all criminals. And the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect. Not only not a criminal, but perfect. And back in the Old Testament, if you'll turn back to Isaiah 53, verse 5, you will see where the prophet, 700 years before, had predicted that this would happen by the Spirit of God. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, he prophesied, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Isaiah 53:5. Those stripes that were laid on his back, that crucifixion that he suffered upon the cross, was that sinners might be healed from their sin disease and brought from their spiritual death into everlasting life. And that's the difference in the scourging of this man as opposed to the many criminals who were scourged in those days. Perhaps you remember with me the words of hymn writer Isaac Watts. "Was it for crimes that I had done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree." By His stripes, we are healed. Have you thanked Him? Behold the man who is scourged. Secondly, behold the man who has authority. In verses 6 through 11. So Pilate comes out of the palace and brings the Lord Jesus out, and his Jewish enemies are before Pilate and Jesus. And Pilate says, behold the man. Behold this man. And then they respond in verse 6. The chief priests and officers saw him. They cried out, crucify him! Crucify him! That is their response. Pilate said, you crucify him. He didn't want to do it. He didn't find any fault in Jesus. You crucify him, Pilate says. But then in verse 7 they say, we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. And that law goes back to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16. And that law says, in Leviticus 24, 16, and whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. Leviticus 24, 16. Jesus, in claiming to be the Son of God, the Jews, not believing that he was, considered him guilty of blasphemy. And so they wanted him crucified. The Old Testament method was by stoning, but the Roman method was crucifixion. Did Jesus actually claim to be the Son of God? He did. Of course, he did. John does not record that part. But back in Matthew, I'm turning back to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, 63 through 66. Here is where Jesus testified that he was the Son of God. This is before the Sanhedrin and the high priest. But Jesus kept silent, Matthew 26, 63. But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. It is as you said. And then it goes on. And in verse 65, the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. And before the high court, the Sanhedrin, which John does not record, by the way, they had declared him guilty of blasphemy. And this is what the Jews mean when they bring this up here in verse 7. And at that point in verse 8, Pilate was the more afraid. He had been afraid before, but he was more afraid now because he knew that the Jews were really upset about this and they were determined to put this man to death whom he did not want to put to death. So he became the more afraid. He goes back to speak to Jesus again and says, where are you from? In verse 9, and Jesus gave no reply. And Pilate urges him, why don't you answer me? Don't you know that I have power to crucify you or to release you? And Jesus' answer in verse 11 is, no, you don't. You would have no power except it had been given to you from above. And we know that from the whole of Scripture. All kings and governors and people in authority are in authority because of the permission of God. Caesar was in authority in the first century and persecuted Christians, and yet he was in authority by the permission of God, and he was answerable to God for his crimes. And Christians had to live in that era, and we have to live in a time when there are laws we don't agree with. But the authority is from God. This world has not been cleansed yet. This world has not been perfected yet. The new heavens and the new earth have not been brought in yet. There is still sin. There are terrible things that happen. There are people that get killed. There are injustices. But during that time, the Lord is being long-suffering, that people may repent, and that all the elect may be brought in before He brings the world to an end. But Jesus here reminds Pilate, no, the only power you have is from above. But then He goes on to say in verse 11, the greater sin was committed by the one who turned me over to you. And He uses the singular. We might think of Judas. But just before this, in time sequence, the high priest Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, but especially in one person, Caiaphas, had turned Jesus over to Pilate. Behold the man who has authority. Our God made this universe, and He is still in control. Human beings like to question the way He runs things because we think we could do it better. But He is still running things. And before His Son, Jesus Christ, ascended to heaven, He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. The Lord Jesus Christ has the authority. There are many in this world who think they have final authority. And that's a very precarious position to be in. When a sinful human being thinks that he or she has final authority, disastrous things happen. God has the final authority. He gives other people authority under Him in a limited way for a limited period of time. And we have to keep that in mind. We have to be subject to those in authority over us, except for when they expect us to disobey God. But what's more important, we have to be subject to Him who has all authority, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you submitted to His authority? Have you said, Lord Jesus Christ, I do, by grace and by the power of the Spirit, know that You are in authority over my life, and I submit willingly and gladly and ask for Your help that I might obey You in everything. We find obedience easy when things are going our way. But just a little opposition, and we say things like, Lord, are You sure You want me to do this? Or we say more outrightly, why me, Lord? In other words, You're doing something wrong. The Christian submits to the man who has authority, the God-man Christ Jesus. Thirdly, behold the man who is sentenced to die. In verse 12, Pilate sought to release Jesus, but he was under pressure because the Jews said to him, if you let this man go, you will not be Caesar's friend. And you know what happens to governors who are not Caesar's friend. They lose their prestigious position. They lose their big palace. They lose all that great name they have and power. You are not Caesar's friend, the Jews say to him and put much pressure on him. And so he goes on the judgment seat in verse 13, called the pavement in Hebrew, Gabbatha, a lifted up place, a stone platform. and he takes the judgment seat. And verse 14 informs us where we are on the calendar. It was the preparation day of the Passover. It was the Friday of Passover week. About the sixth hour, he tells us exactly when it was, except John is using a different reckoning of time than the other three Gospels. And when he says the sixth hour, scholars have figured out that he was probably using Roman time rather than Jewish time. And this was occurring early on Friday morning before he was put to death on the cross at 9. This may have been around 6 a.m. And verse 14 says that once more, Pilate brings Jesus to them and says, "Behold your king." And some Bible students think that he was rubbing them the wrong way on purpose. Some people think he was enjoying rubbing it in. Since they denied that Jesus was their king, he was emphasizing this, "Behold your king." And again, he looked so pitiful. How could they possibly not have compassion on him? And yet, in spite of that, in the next verse, verse 15, they say, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And Pilate says, "Shall I crucify your king?" And they say, "We have no king but Caesar." And then Pilate hands him over to be crucified. And so the Jewish leaders want to put him to death because he claims to be the Son of God, and they don't believe him. And, oh, by the way, their religious authority is threatened because he told them that they were hypocrites. And the governor doesn't want to put him to death, but does, because he doesn't want to lose his luxurious and high and lofty position. And so there is no one there to stand up with the Lord Jesus Christ, but he commits himself to his Father, who is standing with him. "Behold the man." Behold the man who is sentenced to die. Many of you have probably heard that in the Hebrew language, the word for man is Adam. A-D-A-M. And the first man was named Adam, proper name. A-D-A-M. Behold the man. Behold the man in the Garden of Eden. The man who was our head, our representative, just like our representatives in Albany, just like our representatives in Washington, D.C. Behold the man who represented us in the Garden of Eden. Behold him, seeing the forbidden fruits, being tempted, giving into that temptation, yielding, sinning. And by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. By one man, Adam's disobedience, the many, you and I, and the whole world, were made sinners. Behold that man. But behold the second Adam. Behold the second Adam in the Garden of Gethsemane, wrestling with the task he has been given to do and praying, "Not my will, but thine be done." Behold the man scourged, standing before his accusers, innocent, bleeding. Behold the man hanging on the cross, dying. By one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. By one man's righteous act of obedience, the many were made righteous. And all those the Lord Jesus represented, His elect from before the foundation of the world, are made righteous by Him. Behold the man. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Behold the man. Repent of your sins to Him. Trust Him. Commit your life to Him. Serve Him. Follow Him. And receive His blessings. Amen. Let us pray.